ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Dritti, very good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Krishna book chapter 46, and the paragraph is Uddhava entered the house of Nanda Maharaj. So, it's down a little bit. Okay?
Okay.
Are you there?
Uddhava visits Vrindavan. That's
right.
It's opening.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna Hare, Hare
Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So your mother used to read this to you?
She used to read me whole Vrindavan. In the early morning when she used to do the puja. Then after reading Gita, Bhagavad Gita, then she used to read every Bhagavad.
So you come...
I used to go and sit at the back of her when she reads.
So you come from a very, very good background. And that's why you are a devotee now.
Yes, Prabhu.
Very good.
I'm not still devotee, Prabhu. I don't know anything.
What are you talking about?
Really,
what are you talking? Are we ready?
Yes.
Uddhava entered the house of Nanda Maharaj and was received as a representative of Vasudeva. Vasudeva is another name of God. Nanda Maharaj offered him a sitting place and sat down with him to ask about messages from Krishna, Balaram, and other family members in Mathura, because this is happening after the killing of Kamsa. And Krishna decides to stay with Vasudeva and Devaki, and all the residents of Vrindavan go back to where they live.
How is Uddhava cousin of Krishna? How is it related?
That might have been explained in the... If we go back to the beginning...
Okay.
Let's see if it's... In the meantime, Uddhava's cousin brother of Krishna... Okay... I know it explains it at some, but it's not right here.
Okay, later.
Yes. He could understand that Uddhava was a very confidential friend of Krishna's and therefore must have come with good messages. My dear Uddhava, Nanda said, how is my friend Vasudeva enjoying life? He is now released from the prison of Kamsa, and he is now with his friends and his children, Krishna and Balaram. So, he must be very happy. Tell me about him and his welfare. So, we are also very happy that Kamsa, the most sinful demon, has been killed. He was always envious of the family of the Yadus, his relatives. Now, because of his sinful activities, he is dead and gone, along with all his brothers. Please let us know whether Krishna now remembers his father and mother and his friends and companions in Vrindavan. Does he like to remember his cows, his gopis, his Govardhan hill, his pasturing grounds in Vrindavan? Or has he now forgotten all these? Is there any possibility of his coming back to his friends and relatives so we can again see his beautiful face with its raised nose and lotus-like eyes? We remember how he saved us from the forest fire, how he saved us from the great snake Kaliya in the Yamuna, and how he saved us from so many other demons. And we simply think of how much we are obliged to him for giving us protection in many dangerous situations. So, how did Krishna save them from the forest fire? He swallowed it. He just swallowed it. Because after the killing, not the killing, but after dancing on Kaliya's heads, they all took rest that night on the bank of the Yamuna. And then there was a forest fire. And Krishna heard the cows crying. So he swallowed all the flames of the fire. Let us continue. My dear Uddhava, when we think of Krishna's beautiful face and eyes and his different activities here in Vrindavan, we become so overwhelmed that all our activities cease. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, I'm acting right now like Uddhava, and you are the residents of Vrindavan. It's the same thing. We simply think of Krishna, how he used to smile and how he looked upon us with grace. When we go to the banks of the Yamuna, or the lakes of Vrindavan, or near Govardhan Hill, or the pasturing grounds, we see that the impressions of Krishna's footprints are still on the surface of the earth. We remember him playing in those places because he was constantly visiting them. When his appearance within our minds becomes manifest, we immediately become absorbed in thought of him. We think, therefore, that Krishna and Balaram may be chief demigods in heaven who have appeared before us like ordinary boys to execute particular duties on earth. This was foretold by Garga Muni when making Krishna's horoscope. Did you make Driti's horoscope?
Yes.
Very good. If Krishna were not a great personality, how could he have killed Kamsa, who possessed the strength of 10,000 elephants? Actually, earlier, Kamsa's ministers told him, you know, you don't have to worry about the demigods. They're afraid of you. So I could see why he had the strength of 10,000 elephants. Besides Kamsa, there were the very strong wrestlers. What were their names? What were the two wrestlers' names? Chanur Mushtika. Okay.
I wish my mom is here. She'll give you all the answers.
Well, I want to see what you know, so I'm going to keep asking questions. Besides Kamsa, there were the very strong wrestlers, as well as the great elephant, Kuvalayapida. Can you say that? Kuvalayapida. Pretty good. Krishna killed all these animals and demons just as a lion kills an ordinary animal. Prabhupada said, the lion is the king of the jungle. One time, the devotees took Prabhupada to a zoo, and when he saw the lion in the zoo, Prabhupada felt bad. He said, he's the king of the forest, and he's... Prabhupada felt bad. How wonderful it is that Krishna took in one hand the big heavy bow made of three joined palm trees and broke it very quickly. How wonderful it is that for 7 days continuously he held up Govardhan Hill with one hand. Very good. That's it. But the left hand, the other one. Very good, Driti.
How many days, Driti?
Seven. How old was Krishna?
7 years.
7 years old. How wonderful it is that he has killed all the demons like Balambasura, Dinakasura, Aristasura, Trinavarta, and Bakasura. They were so strong that even the demigods in the heavenly planets were afraid of them. But Krishna killed them as easily as anything. While describing the uncommon activities of Krishna before Uddhava, Nanda Maharaj gradually became overwhelmed and could no longer speak. As for Mother Yashoda, she sat by the side of her husband and heard the pastimes of Krishna without speaking. She simply cried incessantly, and milk poured from her breast. Meaning, too much love she has for, right? Too much love. When Uddhava saw Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda so extraordinarily overwhelmed with thoughts of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when he experienced their extraordinary affection for him, he also became overwhelmed and spoke as follows. My dear Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, you are the most respectable among human beings because no one but you can meditate in such transcendental ecstasy. So for me, I always preach on that point. Meditation just doesn't simply mean this kind. The gopis, the residents of Vrindavan, are also doing meditation. But their meditation is on the pastimes of Krishna. So we do meditation, japa meditation, meditation on the Maha Mantra. So sometimes the yogis, they try to poke fun at us. Oh, you guys, you don't do meditation. No, we do. We meditate. Krishna's name, fame, form, pastimes, teachings, instructions. We're always meditating on Krishna. Uddhava continued, Balaram and Krishna are the original personalities of Godhead from whom the cosmic manifestation emanates. They are chief among all personalities. Each of them is both the material and the efficient cause of this material creation. Material nature is conducted by the Purusha incarnations. Who knows what they are? There's three of them. We read about him a little bit the other day.
In the last chapter?
Yes, at the very beginning. Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, Shirodaksh. Those are the Purusha. Okay, can you say Mahavishnu? Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Garbho. Dakashayi Vishnu. Shiro.
Shiro.
Dakashayi Vishnu. Okay. Those are the Purusha avatars. Material nature is conducted by the Purusha incarnations, who all act under Krishna and Balaram. By their partial representation, they enter the hearts of all living entities. They are the source of all knowledge and forgetfulness also. This is confirmed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter. I am present in everyone's heart, and I cause one to remember and forget. I am the original compiler of the Vedanta, and I am the actual knower of the Vedas. Uddhava continued, if at the time of death a person can fix his pure mind upon Krishna, even for a moment after giving up his material body, he becomes eligible to appear in his original spiritual body just as the sun rises with all illumination. Passing from his life in this way, he immediately enters into the spiritual kingdom, Vaikuntha. So for me, even for a moment, Krishna is so merciful, even for a moment at the time of death. That's too good. Prabhupada now comments, this is the result of Krishna conscious practice. If we practice Krishna consciousness in this present body while in a healthy condition, or pregnant condition and in a good mind simply by chanting the holy Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Very good, Driti. We will have every possibility of fixing the mind upon Krishna at the time of death. If we do this, then our lives become successful without any doubt. But if we keep our minds always absorbed in fruitive activities for material enjoyment, then naturally at the time of death, we shall think of such activities and again be forced to enter material conditioned bodies to suffer the threefold miseries of material existence. And that's good that both Levine and Rakesh both said they want to finish up this business. They indicated that twice. So that's good, because if they remain in this business, they're going to get entangled. Therefore, to remain always absorbed in Krishna consciousness was the standard of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, as exhibited by Maharaj Nanda, Yashoda, and the gopis. If we can simply follow in their footsteps, even to a minute proportion, our lives will surely become successful and we shall enter the spiritual kingdom by Kunta. So Prabhupada is being very, very encouraging here. Even if we follow in their footsteps a little bit, wow. My dear Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, Uddhava continued, you have thus fixed your minds wholly and solely upon that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Driti, say, Narayan. Whose transcendental form is the cause of impersonal Brahman. The Brahman effulgence is only the bodily rays of Narayan. And because you are always absorbed in ecstatic thought of Krishna and Balaram, what pious activity remains for you to perform? I have brought a message from Krishna that he will very soon come back to Vrindavan and satisfy you by his personal presence. Krishna promised that he would come back to Vrindavan after finishing his business in Mathura. This promise he will surely fulfill. I therefore request the two of you, who are the best among all who are fortunate, not to be aggrieved on account of Krishna's absence. But what happened after Mathura? Krishna became Ranchorji and he married the first of his 16,108 wives, Rukmini. He didn't return. Balaram visited for 2 months at some point. It was only at the end, when Krishna finally did return, then all the residents of Vrindavan went back to Godhead. That's explained elsewhere. But the rest of their lives, they were waiting for Krishna to come back. You are already perceiving his presence 24 hours a day. Yet he will come and see you very soon. Actually, he is present everywhere and in everyone's heart, just as fire is present in wood. Since Krishna is the Super Soul, he regards everyone equally. He sees no one as his enemy, no one as his friend, and no one as lower or higher than him. He actually has no father, mother, brother, or relative, nor does he require society, friendship, and love. He does not have a material body like us, He never appears or takes birth like an ordinary human being. He does not appear in higher or lower species of life like ordinary living entities who are forced to take birth on account of their previous fruitive activities. He appears by his internal potency just to give protection to his devotees. He is never influenced by the modes of material nature, but when he appears within this material world, he seems to act like an ordinary living entity under the spell of the modes of material nature. And that's why it says, seems to act. But in fact, he is the overseer of this material creation. And while remaining unaffected by the material modes of nature, he creates, maintains, and dissolves the whole cosmic manifestation. We wrongly look upon Krishna and Balaram as ordinary beings, just as whirling men see the whole world whirling around them. Like if Driti was to spin, 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 then she stops. She's going to see that spinning. The personality of Godhead is no one's son. He is actually everyone's father, mother, and supreme controller. There is no doubt of this. Whatever is already being experienced, whatever is not being experienced, whatever already exists, does not exist, or will exist in the future, whatever is the smallest, and whatever is the biggest, have no existence outside the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything rests in Him, but He is untouched by everything manifested. Again, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. I was explaining to her that the other day, that the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya is that the Absolute Truth is simultaneously one and at the same time different. Just as you are Sindhi, you are Indian, that makes you one. But you are Lavina, see your Sakshi. That for you're different. You're one and at the same time different. So everything is Krishna's energy, yet Krishna is still a separate individual. Nanda and Uddhava thus passed the whole night discussing Krishna. In the morning, the gopis prepared for morning arati by lighting their lamps and sprinkling butter mixed with yogurt. After finishing their Mangal arati, they engaged themselves in churning butter from yogurt. While the gopis were thus engaged, the lamps reflected on their ornaments made the ornaments still brighter. Their churning rods, their arms, their earrings, their bangles, their breasts, everything moved, and kumkum powder gave their faces a saffron luster comparable to the rising sun. While making sounds by churning, they also sang the glories of Krishna. The two sound vibrations mixed together, ascended to the sky, and sanctified the whole atmosphere. And a point that I always bring out, here are the gopis. They are the topmost devotees, and they are getting up early and working. It's not that when I become spiritually advanced, then I just sit back, go to sleep. No.
Same routine should be.
You are working for Krishna still.
That's why they never fall down.
Huh?
That's why they never fall down.
Right. After sunrise, the gopis came as usual to offer their respects to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. But when they saw the golden chariot of Uddhava at the door, they began to inquire amongst themselves. What was that chariot? And to whom did it belong? Some of them inquired whether Akrura, who had taken away Krishna, had returned. They were not very much pleased with Akrura. In fact, they cursed him. That's later.
Saca la cuchara, señora.
The gopis cursed Akrura.
There,
yes. And therefore Akrura became entangled in a murder conspiracy plot.
And why did they curse him? Because he took
Krishna. Because he took Krishna. It was Akrura who took Krishna Balaram away. So they said, look what this guy's doing. He's taken away. It was like if somebody was to take away Driti, you would hate that man. You would want him dead. You will do anything for Driti. Same way. For the gopis, their child Krishna, he was only 11 years old. Okay. Then some of them inquired whether Akrura, who had taken away Krishna, had returned. They were not very much pleased with Akrura because, being engaged in the service of Kamsa, he had taken lotus-eyed Krishna away to the city of Mathura. All the gopis conjectured that Akrura might have come again to fulfill another cruel prank. But they thought, we are now dead bodies without our Supreme Master Krishna. What further act can Akrura perpetrate against these dead bodies? While they were talking in this way, Uddhava finished his morning ablutions, prayers, and chanting, and came before them. So that ends this chapter, and we'll stop here to be continued at some other point.
Thank you so much.